Arizona News Radio. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio says he not only has questions about the president's birth certificate, but he also now is voicing questions about the authenticity of President Obama's draft registration card.
We came up with information regarding the Selective Service registration form. We believe it's a forgery.
Phoenix Fire Department says a man died hiking Camelback Mountain.
He had some sort of medical condition while he was coming down the mountain, which led him to cardiac arrest.
12-year-old Gilbert girl hospitalized, accidentally shot by her 10-year-old brother with a gun that was in the house.
There's no reason to believe it wasn't accidental, but we want to talk to everybody to make sure that there shouldn't be charges pending.
The father is a police officer at Apache Junction. And Peoria police arrest a couple on drug charges and also condemn their home.
Until there's running water, they can't inhabit the home. The arrests are the result of the possession of dangerous drugs, possession of marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and child endangerment.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic once again brought to you by the good folks at McRoberts. You're going to find a closure Peoria Avenue east of 51st Avenue. Also find some slowing eastbound I-10 at 59th Avenue on into the tunnel. And watch for a wreck in the left lane westbound US-60, this one at Mill. What McDonald's signature breakfast sandwich contains only 300 calories of excellent deliciousness? The classic and always satisfying Egg McMuffin at participating McDonald's. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Here's your Wednesday forecast. Well, we just lost Jim. Currently, we are at 73 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the show everybody's talking about, Legalese, with your host, today's special guest, Jack Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, I've learned that being on the road is not without its hardships. Bad weather, blisters, feelings of homesickness. But seeing the looks on people's faces when I tell them how much they could save by switching to Geico makes it all worthwhile. Well, that and those little free bottles of lotions and shampoos from all the hotels. Seriously, I've got about 50 bottles now.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With the price of stamps increasing, sending mail was getting more and more expensive. So in order to save some money, I've trained this crew of carrier pigeons to deliver my mail for me. Do they always get it right? Nope. Do my letters make it on time? That would be nope. Do they sometimes get lost? You got that one right. But who has two thumbs and isn't buying stamps? This guy, that's who.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
I grew up.
You're out of order!
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order!
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order!
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order!
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek. I'm proud to report that I'm a little bit more conscious than I was last week. It's been a couple weeks now since my surgery. I donated a kidney to my mom, and I think I can actually remember people's names today. I'll make that pledge for today's show. I will remember people's names. Today we'll be talking about, for the first half of the show, Child Protective Services. Frankly, we're playing legislature today. We've got a whole bunch of different bills to talk about, a whole bunch of different issues. The first bill and the first issue we're talking about, again, is Child Protective Services. My guest on the phone is Representative Katie Hobbs, who's the sponsor of HB 2794, a bill that will help streamline the function of social workers at Child Protective Services. And also in studio I have Dana Wolf-Namark, who's the president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance, an organization that advocates for the health and welfare of Arizona's children and families. I'd like to thank both my guests for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me start with you, Representative Hobbs. Let's talk about HB 2794, again, a bill that will help streamline the function of social workers at Child Protective Services. Why don't you start by explaining how the bill does that?
Sure. Well, just real quick, this bill came out of the recommendations from the Governor's Child Safety Task Force that met during the fall. So it was one of the many recommendations that they had. And this deals with one small part of what the Child Protective Service workers do, and that's dealing with removal of children from unsafe environments. So right now there's a duplicative process in place. So the reviews or the removals go through a two-step review, and so this bill removes one of those review processes. So it just makes their job a little bit easier without removing really any due process rights of the folks involved in the situation.
Right. My understanding is the juvenile courts have, as of the past few years, already started their own review before a child is placed in a new home. So the point of your bill is simply in recognition of the fact that the courts are already doing this, you're getting rid of an extra step where I think it's what the Department of Economic Security was already doing the same thing, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So as we all know, and we'll talk about it a little bit in a moment here with Dana Namark, there's been a lot of problems with CPS, with funding, with understaffing. This is just one way of dealing with that is to make what they do that much faster and more efficient.
Yes, exactly.
Dana Namark, who's the president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance, an organization that advocates for the health and welfare of Arizona children and families. Let's talk a little bit about the problems with CPS. Let me start by asking you, this has been in the news a lot lately. I want to say the reason for that is there's been some particular incidents lately that have put this at the forefront. But this is a major problem. There can be no denying that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about just how big the problem is?
Sure. Well, as you pointed out, this is in the news partly because we hear about some specific really tragic stories of children being killed or really seriously injured through abuse. And what we know is those cases, thankfully, are still rare. But we know that if we're hearing about more kids being killed or seriously injured, that's like the tip of the iceberg. That means there are thousands more children who are at risk or in danger. And it probably means we're not handling those cases as well as we should. So it really should be a red flag and a warning sign that we need to look at the whole system. Right now, our big problem is that our infrastructure of child protective services is completely inadequate. And by that, I mean both the human infrastructure and the technology and the funding. All of those are just simply inadequate to meet our expectations as citizens of Arizona.
Yeah. Let me ask either one of you, what is the purpose of child protective services? I mean, besides the obvious, what on a day-to-day basis do they do? Representative Hobbs, would you like to weigh in on that first?
Sure. I mean, I think very basically their job is to keep children safe. And so that means investigating reports of child abuse and then acting on the findings of those investigations, whether that's putting support services in place for the family so the child can remain at home, or removing a child from an unsafe situation and then from that point, you know, making a plan for what happens with that child. You know, is there criminal abuse involved? Does it go that direction? Or, you know, can they put the child back in the home and make sure this child's safe?
Right. And, of course, that's the way it works in theory. But as Dana was just saying, the actual statistics are very dire. I could probably spend the rest of the show just this, you know, talking about this. In Arizona, roughly 8,000 children are taken to state custody each year. 30 investigators, 30 people, handle more than three-quarters of the highest priority cases.
Mm-hmm.
Average Arizona caseloads are now two-thirds above, I have it written here, national standards. But I think, Dana, you were just explaining to me those are really Arizona standards.
That's right. We've created our own standards, and we're far above those standards.
Yeah. Under state law, the CPS has 45 days to complete an investigation, but the average investigation takes 180 days. Arizona caseworkers have not responded to dozens of reports from the child abuse hotline dating back to July and August. And I saw another statistic, here it is, that about 70 workers staff the CPS hotline. Of the roughly 144,000 calls last year, 17% were simply not taken. They didn't have enough people to answer the call. Typically, people wait about 45 minutes to actually talk to somebody at the hotline. That's mm-hmm. just an indication of how dire the situation is. So is all that accurate, or are we dealing with something like the standards at the DMV in the CPS? Is it that bad? 45 minutes just to talk to somebody, just to make a report?
It is, and what those statistics tell us is that key steps are going undone. And when you talk about the DMV, you know, it's frustrating and people have to wait and it comes out of their day. But when you're talking about child protective services, steps going undone means kids are in danger.
Yeah, and Katie, I think you were going to say something too.
Oh, I was just Dina said it, so that's yeah, I agree. You're not, the DMV isn't dealing with people's lives. In terms of people being safe or not safe if they have to wait that 45 minutes. So it's much more serious.
You know, there's one thing I want to throw out there before, you know, we've got a couple segments to talk about this, but when I was younger, my mom, I knew, did some kind of volunteer work for CPS. And, you know, we've got a break coming up. Maybe we'll talk about it in the next break. But I wonder if that isn't one solution here, is to have some more creative, to have programs to get people to volunteer with CPS. You know, for our third segment, we're going to be talking about a bill to get people to volunteer to patrol the border. I'm thinking if we can do that, you know, we should be getting people to volunteer to help with kids. We've got about a minute before the break. Again, we're talking with Representative Katie Hobbs about her bill to streamline the process at CPS, one solution to the problems there. And we're also talking with Dana Namark about just how dire the problem is. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese, filling in for Dennis Wilinchek. And I'll see you right after the break.
Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, this is Ron Sherman. Zero Res is the carpet, tile, fabric, and more cleaning service that doesn't use old-fashioned soap and water for cleaning. Nah, Zero Res uses empowered water, not soap and chemicals, and what you get is a better clean with no crunchy sound in your carpet. And since there's no residue when they leave, your carpets stay cleaner longer. These guys are good. Now here's the kicker. When you call Zero Res, be sure to ask for the Ron Sherman radio special. Zero Res will pre-treat, clean, and sanitize 3 rooms for just $119. But you have to ask for the Ron Sherman radio special. 3 rooms of carpet, pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for just $119. Just call 480-507-2419. All during March, a portion of the proceeds from Zero Res will go to Phoenix Children's Hospital. It's all part of a $5,000 commitment from Zero Res. Ask for the Ron Sherman radio special. Call Zero Res, 480-507-2419.
Are you ready to push the stop button on fears, doubts, and anxiety-provoking thoughts? Or perhaps you are ready to take charge of your life and broaden the way you see the world? You can do all this and more on The Nancy Pristine Show, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. Pristine is an award-winning author and motivational speaker. When she speaks, people listen. Let Pristine help you be your best self in every situation. Order Pristine's books, The Zen Game, The Victory Dance, and Victory Dancing for Teens at Amazon.com or by going to NancyPristine.com today.
Your home for the Laura Ingraham Show. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the valley.
Welcome back to the Legalese with Jack Wilinchek and our guest for today, Representative Katie Hobbs, and also Dana Namark, to talk about CPS. And Katie Hobbs has a new bill to streamline the process for CPS. Basically just gets rid of some of the extra steps that the court's already taken care of. Before we went to the break, you know, I threw it out there because it's on my head, it's on my mind. You know, toward the end of the show, we'll be talking about a bill to enlist people to patrol the border, like a border reserve patrol. I wondered if there's an opportunity to do something similar for CPS. What are your thoughts on that, Representative Hobbs?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a role for volunteers in lots of different areas, but I do want to emphasize the folks that do the work at CPS are highly trained, and most of them, a lot of them have social work degrees, and so there's not necessarily a lot of places where you can just throw volunteers in there. I think there might be places, but I don't know that that's the solution to the entire issue.
Mm-hmm. Dana Namark, your organization, the Children's Action Alliance, why don't you tell me a little bit about what your organization does?
Sure. We're an independent voice for Arizona children and families, both at the state capitol and in the community. And the community part is so very important. And I think your idea about volunteers is really key in terms of if your listeners do want to help out, because the community does need to be involved. There are a lot of places they can volunteer that will help protect children from abuse and neglect. There are crisis shelters. There are friends of foster care to help and support foster parents who are taking on a role that's really key in all of this. There are a lot of private agencies where they can help. So I encourage people to look around and see what's in their neighborhood and how they can help out.
Okay. Of course, Representative Hobbs' point was that as far as actual caseworkers go, it's something that's very difficult to hire for. And I've got a lot of stuff here that says that it's very tough to work for the CPS, too. I guess somebody did around 460 exit interviews of CPS workers. Maybe it was done by the CPS. And some of the things they said were that it was very dangerous. They found themselves going to very dangerous areas armed with nothing more than a clipboard and telling people, you're abusing your kids. It's not a situation people want to be in, especially when they're not very well paid either. That was another complaint by ex-employees of the CPS. One of them said, quote, I have well-educated CPS staff in my office who would qualify for access. I know that we were just talking off the air, Dana, that you were saying that recently the federal government is cutting funding by $45 million, essentially. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Sure. For a variety of reasons, Arizona's losing $45 million that we have been using for child protective services. And if our lawmakers don't step up and replace those dollars with state funds, that will be a cut to child protective services at a time when we're not even keeping up with what we need now. So it's really important that the budget that's adopted by the legislature replace those federal dollars with state dollars. The governor has proposed that in her budget. The Republican legislative budget that has been adopted by two committees so far does not have that money in their budget. So that is a huge danger that we all need to speak up about.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hobbs, I'm sure you'd like to weigh in on that as well.
Well, yeah, and the Democrats have a budget plan, and our budget plan does include funding to cover that backfill, and I think that's a really critical difference between both our budget and the governor's budget and the Republican legislative budget.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask both of you this. Where does Arizona rank versus other states in the nation? I threw out the statistic earlier that Arizona's caseload is well above, I suppose, I think that statistic was inaccurate. I had the statistic that's well above, you know, the national average, but I think it's really just Arizona's standards. How does Arizona stack up against other states? I'll ask you, Dana.
Well, many states are struggling. These are challenging times for families, but other states have really invested more in their infrastructure, and I know other states have made a lot of progress in reducing the number of kids who are taken into foster care. That is a process that can be very expensive and very traumatic, and we, of course, want to do it in times when it's needed. That needs to be there as an option, but we want to keep that to a minimum if we can, and other states are doing much better at supporting families and finding other services to help families stay strong and kids stay safe without going into foster care.
Right, and that's the ultimate issue here. I think bills like the one that Representative Hobbs is sponsoring are a beautiful idea. Anything that makes the job that CPS does faster and more efficient is a good idea. But in the end, the question is, why do we have this issue? Why aren't parents taking care of their kids? Which is obviously a much, much more difficult issue to tackle. You have to ask yourself too: should we just be throwing more money at this, or are there longer term solutions? And generally, for longer term solutions, what are our options?
Well, I'll mention two things. One is we really need to have a vision and a commitment to make sure we have the infrastructure we need to make child protective services work. It's not okay that we have 10,000 reports where the investigations are not completed when the reports came in 2011. That's not okay. So we need to beef up our own infrastructure to meet our expectations. And we need to focus on the workforce and make sure not only pay, as you mentioned, but staff need to have supervisors who can spend the time and attention with them. They need to have the technology to make their jobs a little bit easier. They need to have places to go for help when they have a difficult case. All of those things we're lacking in. And then the third thing, I said two, but I'm going to mention three, is really putting back together our infrastructure for prevention and giving families places to turn before they're in crisis when they need a little bit of help, giving parents places to turn. Sometimes parents have struggles because they haven't seen good parenting and they really need some help. If we can reach out and give that help before they're in crisis, before there's abuse or neglect, everybody is much better off.
Yeah, I just want to hit on a couple statistics before we have to take the break. You mentioned to me off the air. I think you said to me that due to the fact that so many calls are being missed, that so many reports simply aren't happening, somebody determined there were actual deaths, Dana, I think you said to me.
Well, those were cases where this was just reported that there were 6 children who died from abuse or neglect when there was an open CPS investigation. In other words, somebody had called in a report and it was on somebody's desk, and maybe they were in the process of investigating, but it wasn't complete. So, yes, it's very disturbing.
Yeah, that's even worse. Go ahead, Katie.
Oh, I was just agreeing with that, yes.
I see that CPS, I suppose, I have it here, that Arizona is 188 workers short of its budgeted positions and 300 short of what it would take to meet the caseload standards according to CPS data. I guess they've already put out an estimate of just how overwhelmed they think that they are. New employees take on full caseloads from almost the day that they start. Experts say that's a prescription for mistakes, burnout, and high turnover. A CPS employee's take-home pay is about the same that was 10 years ago. And again, we were saying that there's a lot of anecdotal examples about how bad the technology there is. A lot of the CPS workers, for example, they'll have to spend a whole day sitting around to testify in court, and you know they don't have smartphones or anything. They can't be reviewing cases on a BlackBerry and iPad or anything because they don't have them. So I think it's hard to dispute that if we throw some more money at this, it will help. That it's very much needed. So at least. It says Arizona caseworkers have not responded to dozens of reports from the child abuse hotline dating back to July and August. We were talking about that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
At least four, and I think on average, at least four of those reports in Maricopa County are high priority cases, which require response within 2 hours under state law. What were those big news, incidents that happened recently that we saw in the Arizona Republic? Do you think they deserve the attention that they got? I'll throw this out to either one of you that wants to respond. Dana, do you want to respond to that? Go ahead.
Oh, it absolutely deserves the attention and more. I mean, I think all Arizonans are horrified when we hear some of the things that have happened, and the key is to turn that horror into action to strengthen our system both within CPS and in the community so that those kinds of things don't happen again and again and again.
Yeah, That's good to hear. A lot of times when the news makes a big deal out of these types of things, people who work in the community will tell you, well, it's not as bad as you think. I think this is definitely something where it is as bad as you think. More money, something needs to be done to bolster CPS. again, we're talking at the beginning of the show about Representative Katie Hobbs' new bill, which is a step in that direction. It's something that will just streamline the process. We have about 2 minutes before the break. Representative Hobbs, let me ask you: have you had any kind of blowback at all about your bill? Is anybody objecting to it on any kind of grounds?
No, I think that my bill has gotten widespread support, and I'm really happy it's moving forward. But I do want to reemphasize it's just one small piece. There were extensive recommendations from the task force, and I don't even know that those recommendations went far enough. And then, unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of will to implement many of them. I mean, they don't all need legislation, but there's not a lot of additional legislation moving forward to implement those recommendations. The biggest piece is County Attorney Bill Montgomery's proposals around the investigative team and unit, and that, I believe, is moving forward. But other than that, it's just kind of smaller, yeah, incremental, like, pieces of things and not something more systemic or I mean, it really needs to be a really broader systemic approach.
Yeah. Well, I guess doing shows like this are one small piece in getting the word out, so we can be thankful for that. Okay,
yeah.
We've got to take a break here in about 30 seconds. I want to thank my guest, Representative Katie Hobbs, who's got a new bill to help solve the whole CPS problem. And thank you so much, Representative.
Thank
and,
you.
Also, Dana Neymark, who's President and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance. I want to thank you, too, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese on KFNX.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. A standoff continues in Toulouse, France, between police and the man suspected in a string of killings this month. Within the last hour, three loud explosions were heard outside Mohamed Mera's apartment. Police say they're trying to pressure the suspect back into talks. CNN's Dan Rivers.
The whole of France is really holding its breath to see what happens to this man, Mohamed Mera, who has been holed up in there after killing seven people in the most brutal fashion in the last few days.
The standoff has gone on at least 20 hours. It's a two-day four-state trip for President Obama as he pushes his energy policies. He started earlier today in Nevada. Tomorrow he'll be in Oklahoma to show support for the southern half of the Keystone Pipeline. A realtor's report today showed sales of existing homes fell last month from the month previous. That put a damper on Wall Street trading, with the Dow losing 45 points. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Looks like the flu season isn't over yet. After a quiet winter, the first week of spring, 14 to 15 counties report activity.
We had over 300 cases come in last week, and so that, and we also saw a lot more reports coming from throughout the state.
The report indicates Arizona's 12th in job creation, 1.5% growth rate in the past year. Not great, but better than recent years, according to ASU economist Lee McFeeters.
For all of 2010, we were number 49. For 2009, we were 49. So, you know, we're kind of clawing our way back.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies looking for a suspect who robbed a Quick Mart.
The suspect is described as a dark-complected African-American male, approximately 40 to 50 years old, and approximately 5'10" tall.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Pio says yesterday's protest by students near Trevor Brown High School shouldn't be at him.
They should direct their energies to Congress, state legislators, the White House.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Roberts 99 Cent Only Store. Look for a collision off of School Road at Warner, actually just south. You want to look for a collision eastbound I-10 to 339th Avenue. Also be on the lookout for a wreck eastbound US-16 near Higley. Add a Papa's free color to your Easter basket with festive Easter grass in pink, purple, yellow, and green, all for only 99.99 cents each, and that's at the 99 cent only store. Here's your Wednesday forecast, excuse me.
Jim Howell for the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we're headed for those 80-degree temperatures now. 81 degrees tomorrow, to be specific. 85 by Friday afternoon. And we're low to mid-80s over the weekend. Breezy at times, no rain. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jim. Jim. Currently we're at 73 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Stay connected to all things KFNX. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. For the first half of the show, we were talking about a bill that will help streamline the operations of CPS, which is a major issue in a lot of people's minds. And for the second half of the show, we'll be talking about another issue that's on a lot of people's minds and has been for a while now. We'll be talking to Senator Sylvia Allen, who's the sponsor of SB 1083, a bill to create and fund a, quote, special missions unit for purposes of securing the Arizona border. Senator Sylvia Allen, are you on the line?
I am.
Great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
I'll admit that I'm not too well versed on this bill. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what the bill's about?
Okay. I'm over the Border Security, Federalism, and State Sovereignty Committee, and so for the last good 3 years, I've been really focusing on cross-border criminal activity that is really causing such great harm to our state in many, many ways. 1070 was a reaction to that, trying to do internal enforcement because of the fact that our borders are insecure. And so I decided this year that we needed to take a look and put our focus on that border and figure out what it is that the state of Arizona could do. Now, one problem has always been, and the complaints are, that there are enough boots on the ground to try to do something to handle this. The lion's share has been left up to our local sheriffs on the border, who only have authority within their county, but who also have to operate their offices with the amount of money their county has. And there just isn't money to hire more deputies and have to pay salaries and retirement and health care. And so as I was looking at this issue, and it's not just on the border, our problems with what's happening at the border is all the way into our state and across our state, and eventually is all over in America as these drug cartels are spreading their drugs through using Arizona as a gateway, along with their human smuggling and their sex rings. So the idea is very simply this. We will create a reserve of highly trained and organized volunteers who are willing to step forward and volunteer some of their hours, sign up for at least 2 years, and then give so many days a month towards serving in different missions, and they would be trained. They are vetted. The bill says that they will be vetted and go through a vetting process to be sure that they'll have fingerprints, you know, they will have psychological as well as a lie detector even.
So what we're looking at is something like a bill to create a reserve force.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. And because we don't, on the state, we do not have a lot of money. Again, we don't have money for salaries, retirement, and health care. So they will be paid some money for their trainings, but basically their hours out in the field are donated.
I guess that's the difference between a reserve force and is it fair to call this a militia?
Well, a lot of people want to give it that tag. I believe that it is a trained, organized, if you want to put the name militia on it, fine. But I call them that they'll be members of the special missions unit designed for only to address cross-border criminal activity. They're not going to do anything else. They are not going to do any other broad spectrum of law enforcement that our law enforcement personnel have to do in the state. They'll be focused on this one issue, but because they're focusing on the issue, they do have to have the ability to be able to detain and arrest while they're working in conjunction with other local law enforcement, and but they have to have that ability. And also people, another issue they bring up all the time, well, are they going to have guns? Well, yes, they will have guns for defense purposes only. We wouldn't send anybody out in the field that doesn't have the ability to defend themselves if needed. But again, all of that goes back to the fact that we would train them. And we're hoping that a lot of people that have ex-law enforcement or military background will want to sign up. They have training already, and we can supplement that training with what we need.
Okay. I called it a reserve force earlier, but I think the word I was searching for was it's more like a posse.
Yes. And posses have limited authority. They can carry guns and they can arrest.
Right.
And they do that in conjunction with the sheriff.
Right.
But we will give them a limited authority, but they will have training. And that's been the two biggest things. Well, we don't want a bunch of people running around the state with guns. No, neither do I. And that's not going to happen. They will be organized. They will be under command, just like our law enforcement is. And they will have the training needed to do what they're asked to do out on the ground.
I've got a couple questions that come to my mind. The first question is, I would think that most county sheriffs have the power to create a volunteer force. I guess your idea is just to step in there and do it before they can or decide to do it.
Well, some of them have posses now. Most of them don't because they don't have the money to put together a posse. Now, Sheriff Joe has a very well-organized posse. And, again, this is a problem that is statewide. It isn't just located in one particular county. So my idea was to create a statewide force, reserve, posse, whatever you want to call it, that can be used to supplement on the ground. Now, I've been met with resistance because with any new idea, especially with law enforcement, they're concerned about trust. They want to trust that whoever they might be working with has training and that this can work properly. So
right. And the other big issue that comes to my mind is just administration. If it's going to be a state organization, who's going to be above it? Who's supervising it?
Okay. First off, it'll be considered like DPS, another state law enforcement.
Right.
And it's organized under Statute 41. And the governor will appoint the commander. The commander then, and the commander has to have a law enforcement and military background. Mm-hmm. And then the commander is going to appoint his under deputies, you know, lieutenants or whatever, however he organizes it under him, that can do the hiring, the procurement of equipment, whatever, you know, then he'll start organizing the unit. And they have to give a report once a year to the legislature. None of the other guys have ever been asked to do this, but I'm requiring that they give a report to talk about what they have been involved with the last year, what missions did they go on, and give us a report to the legislature, and at the same time they can turn in their budget, showed what they have done with their money, and ask for more money. And yes, I agree we need to be able to figure out a way to fund them at higher dollars, but I think we can start this unit and get going with the monies that are going to be appropriated.
You were talking earlier that mostly you're looking for people who already have training. I think I have it written here that your bill requires that volunteers have 5 days initial training and then 5 days of training annually. But again, you're looking for people who already have some kind of training before they
right. Now, anybody's welcome to apply. So we're not saying that if you don't have that kind of background, you can't apply, because you can, but you'll just have to be willing to go through more training to eventually get to be out on the ground.
I hate to interrupt you. You know, we've got just a little bit more time here. I wish we had
That's
more time.
Right. The
question I want to ask before we get to the break is, do you think your bill is going to be challenged by the federal government, just like SB 1070 was? Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I do not believe it's going to be challenged, because it is totally legally done within, you know, the state and through the process that's correct, just like our DPS or any other of our law enforcement within our state. Now, where they'll try maybe do pushback is, you know, telling the Border Patrol not to cooperate with us, or, you know, wanting to push back that they don't want to give us the right to enter some federal lands, you know, that type of
right,
stuff.
Right.
I expect that kind of a pushback, but there's nothing else they really can do.
Same kind of stuff that the sheriff is dealing with.
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and take the break. I want to thank my guest, Senator Sylvia Allen, who's been talking about SB 1083, a bill to create and fund a special missions unit for purposes of securing the Arizona border. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sylvia. Okay, this is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
You'll feel psyched up, tuned in, turned on, and megawired for sound. What? Yeah, tune in to Healthy House Calls. We discuss the secrets to wellness, longevity, and abundant energy. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we broadcast live and direct from Healthy Habit Health Food Store.
London Gold, it's the best.
There are inspiring moments in life, and buying a diamond for your engagement ring is one of them. At London Gold, we're giving you the opportunity to get a diamond with higher clarity, brighter color, and larger size. And now you can buy your diamond accompanied with a certificate for direct dealer cost. That's right, your diamond for the same price dealers pay all across the nation. Direct dealer cost. With London Gold's reputation, it is not surprising you get the finest cut of polished diamonds from us. A diamond for direct dealer's cost just makes it that much better. London Gold, serving the valley with 3 locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. You can also visit us online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5, only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations, so let me alone.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Today, like I said at the beginning of the show, we've been playing our own little House of Representatives here and Senate combined. We've had several legislators on the show to talk about various bills, and we saved the best for last. We have Representative Debbie Lesko, who's the sponsor of HB 2625. which, to quote from the Arizona Republic, allows employers to refuse to provide health insurance coverage for birth control by citing religious and moral objections. Representative Debbie Lesko, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you for having me, Jack.
Sure. Great. Good to have you on the show. This has been in the news a lot. Being a working man, don't follow these things as closely as I should. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to tell the listeners what the bill is about.
Sure. The bill does one thing and one thing alone. It protects our First Amendment rights to exercise a freedom of religion. And so basically it allows Arizona employers to opt out of this current government mandate that forces the employer to include in their insurance coverage the morning after pill, some sterilization pills, and contraceptives. And they can opt out of that coverage if and only if they have a religious objection. That's right. What my bill does.
Right. So this is the big thing we've been hearing about. My first response to this is, you know, I'm a lawyer and I'm a little bit confused because generally I think up until this recent mandate from President Obama, this wasn't an issue. Maybe you can explain just a little bit of the background here, what that mandate from the president says and why this has suddenly become an issue.
Well, obviously, it's become an issue on the national level because President Obama wants to force employers to do something against their religious beliefs. And because of the whole national controversy and exposure, I thought it was the opportune time to introduce this bill in the Arizona legislature. Right now, in current Arizona law, since 2002, the state is mandating that any Arizona employer that provides prescription drug coverage in their insurance plan to their employees must also include such things as the morning after pill, other abortion type pills, contraceptives, and sterilization drugs.
Right.
Back in 2002, there was a very narrow exemption for basically just churches, because it said that employers who employed and served people of their own faith could opt out of that mandate if it was against their religious belief.
Right.
Now, in that language, and this is what all the controversy and distortions and lies about my bill have concentrated about, in that current law, there was a protection for the woman that happened to work at the church. And it said, you know, if that woman needs contraceptives for something other than birth control, she can still get that covered through her insurance plan if it's used for something other than birth control, and that she would deal with the insurance company, not the employer. So what this lie that has been repeated over and over again by the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and now the Democrats is that somehow under my legislation, the employer would know about the private medical use of their employee. That is just totally inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that language was not something I even introduced in my bill. That has been in Arizona law for 10 years.
Yeah,
so whether my legislation passed or not, it would still be the law.
I find that surprising. So you're saying it's been the law here in Arizona since 2002.
Correct.
Yeah, that employers are required to cover contraceptives.
Correct.
Unless they're a religious institution.
Unless they're a religious church.
Right.
It's basically just a church now. Now, what my legislation would do is basically say that an employer, basically any Arizona employer, could opt out of this government mandate if they have a religious objection. Now, quite frankly, I don't think a lot of employers are going to jump on the bandwagon and do this because it's so controversial. But I do think that some religious-based charity organizations, for example, St. Vincent de Paul, Catholic Social Services, who are now required by our state government and soon to be our federal government to include and pay for things in their insurance coverage that they have a religious objection to, my bill lets them opt out.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, in doing a little bit of research for the show, I looked at all the new polls coming out saying, you know, 50% of people think that this new mandate is unconstitutional. An even greater number are opposed to it. And now I didn't even realize it's been state law for some time now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it has been state law. It was under the Napolitano administration, and there was Mark Anderson, who was a legislator back in 2002, introduced legislation that was similar to mine because he knew this was, you know, that mandate was a bad thing to do. And it actually passed the legislature back in 2003, mm-hmm. but Napolitano vetoed it.
Oh, okay.
So now we're, you know, this has been around for a while, but now seems the opportune time to bring this back up again and say, you know what, government should not be mandating to an employer that they have to include something and pay for something that's against their religious beliefs.
Yeah, maybe I'm misunderstanding the issue, but it seems to me that just from a sensible perspective, that it doesn't make a lot of sense to cover contraceptives as under health insurance. Maybe I'm just missing this issue completely, but it just seems, you know, as a matter of good housekeeping, is something that we shouldn't be doing. Religious objections and religious issues aside.
Well, I agree that I don't think the government should be mandating an employer to on anything, that they have to do anything. It really should be between the employer and the employee. And, you know, it should be a free market thing. But so yeah. You and I agree on that issue. And the only reason that I happen to be talking about contraceptives is because that's what the government mandates. And I think that's what people get really confused about on this issue. I mean, I'm not talking about other things because – you know, because that's what they mandated. That's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah, at first blush, again, like I say, I think I'm missing something because I don't see why contraceptives or birth control would be something covered by insurance to begin with. But
I'm with you.
Yeah. So you were saying earlier that you're getting some criticism because people think that your bill allows employers to ask an employee the reason why they're using birth control. And, again, your response to that is simply no. It's not.
Yeah, it's a total lie. And unfortunately, today at the state capitol, the Democratic legislators got up and repeated that lie, even though they know it's inaccurate. And then when a reporter questioned them after their news conference, why do you keep saying that an employer would know this when it's clear in the bill that it's that conversation is, it's not even a conversation, but the insurance company would know that. And they admitted right there in the press conference that they knew it was the insurance company, but then they still disagreed with my bill. Hmm. And so, you know, I have to say this has been a real eye-opener in the sad state of affairs in journalism because there has been this lie that has been put out on a nationwide level by the ACLU of what my bill doesn't do, but they say it does, by Planned Parenthood, now the Democrats, and it's just repeated. And unfortunately, local media and now national media is repeating it without even, they didn't even call me, they didn't call the legislature to verify any of this. And you know, they must not have had lawyers look at the bill either to read it.
Yeah. I understand that John McCain recently had some comments about the issue. Do you have any response to that, or do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, you know, it was unfortunate, but I think, again, that was on Meet the Press, and the reporter asked him a question, something to the effect of, well, there's an Arizona law that requires employees to tell their employers about their contraceptive use. What do you think about that? Well, first of all, the reporter had it totally wrong.
Right. Yeah.
That's not what the bill does.
Right.
And so, you know, I would assume that Senator McCain really didn't know the ins and outs of my bill and was
sure.
just basing it on what the reporter said. So he commented on that. And that's the same thing that happened with Governor Brewer. She was cornered.
Right.
At some type of event, and one of the local media repeated that lie again, and she said something to the effect, well, I think a woman would be uncomfortable with that. But again, she hadn't been briefed yet on the ins and outs of the bill, and that it simply doesn't do that.
No, I hear you loud and clear. I feel like we play a big game of telephone sometimes with all this kind of stuff, and it just gets worse as it goes on.
Yes.
From what I've I've heard from you, I do think this sounds like a very sensible bill. And again, I think it's important to emphasize that this has what everybody's objecting to by the federal government is something that's been the law in Arizona for many years now. And
unfortunate because we had a more liberal legislature back then, and we had a liberal Democrat governor back then. So it is unfortunate that they mandated it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Representative Debbie Lesko, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And this is Jack Wilinchek signing off on Legalese. Stay tuned for Mike Savage, and I'll see you next week.
Would you like to put your troubles with the IRS behind you? If you are behind on your taxes, don't try negotiating with the IRS alone. The IRS can take advantage of taxpayers who don't know the law or collection procedures. Ameristar's team of enrolled agents, tax professionals, and CPAs with master's degrees in taxation can go to work to protect you from paying too much. Get fast relief with Ameristar Tax Centers. Once the proper paperwork is filed, Ameristar will deal with the IRS directly so you don't have to. Plus, Ameristar Tax Center is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know the secrets to getting you maximum savings. Get real tax relief by calling for a free, no-obligation consultation. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-761-7056. If the IRS is garnishing your wages or sending threatening letters, we can help. Call now. 800-761-7056. 800-761-7056.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. KFNX News Time, it's 5 o'clock.